Hola, caballeros y damas, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with people who are ungrateful and spouses who are unfaithful. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. We're back at it. New year, new us. Big factin', no capping. Let's go.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Cap.
No cap.
Big
facts.
No. Cap.
Big facts.
No. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Do you even remember how to do this?
We're a knitting and sewing podcast. We give people knitting and sewing tips. No, it's been going on, man. It has been a long time since we recorded. The audience doesn't even know. They've been getting regular episodes.
Well, except for that one re-release that we didn't need to do.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you live and you learn. Did you re-listen to that episode? I did not.
I did not either.
Okay, well, I guess we can't expect our fans to then. Oh, shit, we did chart for realsies, though, when I texted you about us being back on the charts.
Nice, finally. People are finally starting to recognize us.
For one day, we were 231 on the comedy charts in Kazakhstan.
Thank God.
Yeah, which was after the re-release, so I don't actually know what that was about. That was interesting.
They love us out there, man. They love the classic apps.
Yeah, shout out to Tanati Thati. Maybe it's him. Maybe he's the one driving that engagement.
No, but how was your Christmas? How was your, you've been all over the place.
Yeah, went back home, did a road trip, stayed in town for a little bit, met my parents in Argentina, went to Buenos Aires, went to Mar del Plata, went to Iguazu. And then
fuck,
finally
Mary,
got home.
Kill. Nashville, Knoxville, Buenos Aires.
I'm gonna fuck Buenos Aires. I'm gonna marry Nashville. I'm gonna kill Knoxville, which is very sad, because Knoxville was very cute during the holidays.
Interesting. I would have always thought of Nashville as a city you fuck, but okay.
No. I mean, I have a lot to... I've got a lot of shit to talk about Argentina, but the one thing you can't knock, everyone's caked up there. All the men, women, NBs, everyone's caked up. I don't know what it is down there, but the ratio of good booties to not having booty ass people is it's high.
Interesting.
Yeah, one of the few good things about Argentina. You know that Saba album, A Few Good Things? That's what he was talking about.
What do you think the percentage of natural to non-natural is?
You know, someone brought that up, but I don't actually know if that's the thing. I think it's just something about the lifestyle, or because they're all, it's not about how big they are in every respect. Sometimes they're just very shapely. They're just very nice.
Do you think sometimes they're like, it's not a BBL, it's an ABL. Come on now. We all know what's up.
Come on now. That's probably it. If anything, I will say it's all very tastefully done. So. Oh, yeah. I told Charlie about that in my review of Argentina midway through. And he was like, my wife says I'm not allowed to call women cakes anymore, but that sounds cool.
It is an oddly horny first point to make after such a long trip away to be like asses away.
You literally started off by doing a fuck, marry, kill. I don't know what to tell you, brother.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. I think there's a framing issue there.
I didn't know you had your Yu-Gi-Oh! Trap card prepared, but okay.
I have my Uno reverse. It's on Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing to really report on for me. Maybe a media that I finished. I finished Gravity's Rainbow, and I'm finally a bro lit guy now. I can finally, man, dude, I'm gonna tell so many women that they have to read it. I'm gonna be so powerful. I'm gonna read Infinite Jest too, just so I can really hit them with the 1-2.
Bam, bam.
Was there any movies that I wanted to talk about particularly?
No, wait. Oh, yeah, I did watch a movie while I was in Argentina. I watched Next Goal Wins.
Oh, Last yeah, Goal yeah, Wins. Yeah. You had opinions on that.
I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a fun movie.
Yeah?
I thought some of the trans stuff was, like, poorly handled, but I could see a trans person saying, like, we still need that, like, most basic level of representation in movies. Mm-hmm. But no, it's a fun soccer movie. I had a fun time. It was in English with Spanish subtitles. So I think a lot of the jokes didn't land on the audience as hard as it did for me and Dorley and my dad. And then the other thing was that the kids there were so into the soccer scenes, which there weren't a lot of. It wasn't like a kicking and screaming or like a Shaolin soccer. There was like one game at the beginning, one game at the end. Otherwise, It's just kind of scene by scene of like characters making little jokey jokes and practicing. But the kids loved the soccer. The other things I've written down is when I got back home and I did my big grocery trip, I went to Grocery Outlet, which just kind of has like whatever they get in bulk from other places. And I was able to find Magic Spoon, which is that like cereal that like every influencer tries to promote. It's like the adult one where it's like low carb and like high protein. It's not good. I got the chocolate version, which like is not my favorite flavor to begin with, but like it's noticeably chalky, and the sugar that they use is like from like raisins and monk fruit, and it just kind of tastes weird. I didn't really like it that much. Definitely not worth like $10 for a 4 ounce box or whatever it is.
But Magic Spoon, will cut this out of the app if you guys want to sponsor us.
If you want to sponsor us and send me the fruity flavors or the peanut butter flavors, I bet I'll like those. But the chocolate flavor, and I think the cinnamon one, if I wanted it, I could have gotten, also didn't look great.
We're no internet shack. We're not going to wait to make sure we like it before sponsoring you. We'll sell out immediately and put it in the show.
It's so interesting to me that he got an Air Up sponsorship way before anybody else and was like, nah, I'm going to make a video for my patrons about how stupid this idea is. And then you just see everybody else going, Air Up.
It's embarrassing that anybody would see that and not immediately be like, the person who invented that should be murdered, but instead is actually going to pull out their credit card and buy an Air Up bottle. You know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about? It's all the taste without any of the calories.
Doesn't that just make you like a little bit angry at other people for, I don't know, not having like a little bit of cynicism in them? You know what? Yeah. I'm angry at them because they're happier than me. The person who buys Air Up is so positive in their outlook. I wish I could
the
have
person
that.
Who no one who's bought Air Up is on SSRIs.
That's true. If you're buying Air Up, you are fundamental. Just like, you are blessed.
You're just a Mr. Bean ass motherfucker.
If you buy Air Up, you still think it's really interesting that tomatoes aren't vegetables or whatever. You're still like walking around telling people that like you learned it yesterday.
There's so much magic in the world for you.
No cap.
Did you want to save this for later in the episode, or are you trying to not put a whole country on blast? You going to talk about the racism?
My review of Argentina. A bunch of wide-ass, honky-ass, croissant-gobbling racist with speech impediments. That was the review that I sent to Charlie, minus the racism. We hadn't experienced a whole lot of it by that point. food was terrible. They all use stupid words and have a stupid accent. It's all Europeans, it's all Italians and Germans and Spanish people. They are very racist to people who are darker than them. They have a weird complex around Brazilian food, where I tried to order picanha a couple times at steakhouses. Because it was really good the one time I had it in Brazil. And every time the waiter would be like, no, 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 you don't want that. That's like a Brazilian thing. You want bife de chorizo. That's way better. Picanha's dry. And then they'll show up with their overcooked ass steak and be like, this is better. And I'll be like, God, fuck you guys. This place sucks. I had a really chance encounter yesterday where I went to like the kind of like local watering hole. And the new bartender there, I talked to him about coming back from Argentina. And he was like, oh, my dad's Argentinian. So I've actually been there like quite a few times. And everything, like, all of our complaints were exactly the same. He was like, yeah, the food's just terrible. Everything, like, fucking sucks there that you get. He didn't actually talk as much. He looked really Mexican. I think his mom's Mexican. So he looked way, like, more Mexican than Argentinians. I wouldn't be surprised if he also had stories about that. But he didn't really say too much about that stuff. Was there other stuff? Oh, yeah. Dorley and I made a list of things. Okay, one. Cool thing. There's no parking or paying for parking. As long as you can fit your car somewhere, you can park there. For however long you want. The waiters never write anything down. And when they get things wrong, they blame you. So that happened many times during the trip. And then what else? The beer's really cheap. Everything's super cheap. It got noticeably expensive while we were there. And a lot of people talked about the new president and not liking him. My dad got into an argument with a taxi driver where they started talking about China and other places. And I was like, all right.
Wait, what were... I imagine, no offense, I imagine both your dad and the taxi driver had hilarious opinions. You gotta tell us what their opinions on China are.
My dad was talking about how things seem to be going bad for Argentina, and the guy was like, oh, well, you know, at least we're not like Venezuela, or like one of those socialist countries that's like doing terrible. And my dad was like, my dad loves China. So he started talking about China and stuff like that.
Your dad's in the right. China's killing it.
Yeah. And so we started talking about that, and I can't remember what else they talked about, but I remember at a certain point, the taxi driver literally just switched the conversation to be like, so you guys like coffee? You guys been drinking a lot of coffee?
I like that your dad, while in a country where everybody's being racist against him, it's like, yeah, I can pick a couple fights. Why not?
Yeah, no, he'll do that. He'll talk everyone's ear off. Oh, yeah. And also the service is generally bad at most places, regardless of whether or not you speak Spanish or not. Like, whether or not my parents took the lead on the conversations or not. Yeah, this is just, it's generally not great. I think a lot of people, I think you get this because we both went to Cuba together. And I think we both had the same opinion that was like, the food wasn't good, but like, I really learned that that doesn't make a vacation bad or good. It was still a super fun vacation, even if most meals I was like, oh God, this like one thing kind of tasted good. And that's the highlight of my day.
Yeah. There was like a lot of like basically good beans and rice. There was some places we got good, like plantains. Our breakfasts were really good. But other than that, there was no like particularly like great meal, or I don't remember any piece of protein being like, you know, really well cooked or moist or well like, oh, wow. Yeah, nothing like that. Which, I mean, to be fair, is a lot to do with a blockade. I don't know if they're just like Argentina, where they just have a fucked up food culture, versus like in Cuba, they just can't get every ingredient.
In Argentina, I think it's arrogance. I think it's they have like a big like, well, our beef is so good, you don't need to season it or cook it correctly. You can just put it on a grill and it'll come out good. And everything only needs to be served with fries. No, nothing else. So, like I said, I did like the drinking culture there. The beer is cheap. And it's cool that because they're so Italian-fluenced, everybody has Campari, Aperol, and Fernet. And I like that. The guy that I was talking to at the bar was like, I'm not a liquor drinker. I only like whiskey. There's not a lot of whiskey there. And I don't drink wine, which I do. So, I thought the drinking there was pretty fun. It's like they pretend not to be able to understand you, though. And that's what I hated. I would always try and speak a little Spanish, order my things in Spanish. And my dad would be like, if you were in Guatemala, they'd understand you. But every
You'd
time
I'd be like, the owl understands me. And he's not even real. He's exactly. on my goddamn phone.
He's a turf. I'd be like, hey, can I get a Malbec? And they'd be the reaction that they have would be like, I have no idea what on earth this person could be talking about. I'd say it a second time, and then I'd say it a third time, and they'd be like, oh, a Malbec. Every like these little Hermione ass Grangers, just every single waitress and waiter there were like, the third time I said it, they were like, you know what? This sounds suspiciously similar to one of the things we have on our very limited. I bet that's what he's talking about. What the fucking ass faces.
Are you gonna go to a different app or change up your, now that Duolingo has fired a bunch of their translators
for
and started
AI.
Replacing them with AI?
I mean, what other service isn't doing that besides Lingo, the one I invented? What's Babbel doing? Are they cool? Is Babbel a co-op? Paul, I can't give up this streak. I'm almost at 100.
You're almost at 100.
I'll consider after my 100-day streak. Maybe I'll go to Rosetta Stone, the OG. Anyways, there were other things that were cool. My parents kept asking me what my favorite thing was, and that was kind of hard to say. Nothing was, like, by far and away my favorite thing. The aquarium was really cool. Going to the national park with the waterfalls was really cool. Getting to see the animals and the insects. Hanging out on the beach for Christmas was kind of fun. I did get sunburned for the first time since I was, like, 11. Oh, yeah, one of the things about the food there is at a certain point, we really just started, like, typing into Google any other type of cuisine, plus near me, and that was how we found good restaurants, is we ate Mexican food, we ate Indian food, and we never got around to Lebanese food, even though there was a lot of places, and there was one right down the street from us that had some shawarma.
Well, no, it makes sense with, you know how Dorley's, like, really American, and she can't stand Lebanon?
Yeah, that's true.
Too tart.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Paul. You don't got to fight this fight for me. You just let her have her delusions.
No. This is like when my little brother is getting bullied. I got to be like, that. I got this
one. Oh, yeah. And they really like their dogs there. I found that very disappointing. Everyone has a dog.
A bunch of Kevin Gates down there.
Yeah, they're all ugly and annoying. And they all bark too much. Oh, and I became a big fan of Boca Juniors while I was there. We went to both stadiums. My mom likes one team. My dad likes the other. Real house divided. And one is clearly the team for that was in a poor area, got the money to move out, and as soon as they could, just moved to the richer part of town to be at a nicer stadium. And the other one very much prides itself on still being in the same neighborhood, the Jenny from the block that it grew up in. And so it was very clear to me, and our driver agreed with me that it's the team for the people. So that's I'm now an avid Boca Juniors fan.
Ooh, okay. Which one of your parents is for the people?
My mom, as that is a given. And our driver. Our driver was really cool. I don't remember
queer icon Adrian's mom.
Exactly. But yeah, that's my wrap up of Argentina for the most part. No need to wrap up the road trip. That was pretty bang standard. fun little trip with my friends. Yeah, anything else you wanted to talk about before we get into the theme?
I think that's as good a roundup as we're going to get to your Argentina trip. We can get into the theme.
Okay. It kind of has a holiday tint to it, but it's about looking, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, which is not a manifestation of me saying that one day we're just going to have themes that are the pen is mightier than the sword, but it is a well thought out and feasible theme idea, which means what we think it means, right? I didn't actually look it up what the etymology was.
I think the etymology is that, like, when you're buying a horse, you check its teeth to see if it's, like, sickly or...
Oh, and if you get gifted a horse, you don't look it in the mouth?
Yeah, you don't go inspect its teeth. You got a gift horse. You just take it home.
Okay.
Which I don't understand, because a horse is not, like, that's not like a watch, you know? A horse can cost you money to, like...
It's famously why my neighbors never had horses. They had goats.
To board it. And
cows. They had a donkey.
Take care of its house. They refused to get a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta feed it. You gotta house it. You gotta take it to the doctor. You gotta put effort into letting it out. It's definitely not a low-effort gift. I don't want, like, a sickly shit horse.
Yeah, someone giving you an Eeyore or whatever. Or a BoJack Horseman. Sad Horseman. One thing that I never understood, but I, like, saw make ground in our lifetime was the, like, don't give a kid a bunny for Easter. Like, that's not a good pet or a good, like, gift. It's, like, a full-ass animal. Who are these people that were getting bunnies for Easter? Was that a thing around us, or is that, like, more of another part of the country type thing? Because, like, I understood the sentiment, and I was like, if that's happening, that's not good. Yeah, good message, but, like, who's getting a rabbit for Easter?
No cap.
All right, cool. So the theme, looking at a gift horse in the mouth, which means being ungrateful about a gift. Paul, have you ever been ungrateful for a gift?
I made it very obvious to Izzy one time when she got me a bag I didn't like it after a month or two. But I think that was one of those things where it was going to become obvious because I'd never used the bag.
Yeah. Like certain hats that I've gotten you where it's like, why do I even bother anymore?
That's your thing with Phil. You can't make it your thing with me, too.
I haven't seen you wear that Morgan's Mill hat in a while.
I used to wear it all the time. I have a ton of hats.
And I've seen your hat of your box of discarded hats, and I don't remember going through it and seeing any that I've given you, but that's because you knew I was coming.
Those aren't my box of discarded hats. That's how I store my hats. As a bald man, I have a lot of hats.
Oh, why not make it like a wall in your house that you have like little hooks for every hat that you have?
That's disgusting.
Like, you know, like a sneakerhead.
Well, because I'm not an asshole, but I'll think about it.
Wait, what if you mount a bunch of styrofoam heads that people use for, like, cosmetology and then just have a hat on each one of them on your wall?
What's that store at the mall that does that? Is it, like, lids?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't go to hat stores. Yeah.
Okay, but you've never walked by a lids. Next, you're going to tell me you don't know what a Journeys is because you...
I went into Journeys. I like
weird,
shops.
Ugly belts. I don't know. What do they sell in Journeys?
They were like a skater store.
Okay.
They sold bands and shit. I remember, I think I've talked before about how Dorley and I our whole family does a whole lot of mutual aid and depending on who's doing well and who's not doing well at the time. So I think it was like my first or second year at grad school where I didn't realize how little you get paid to survive. And so I was really struggling the 1 month that Dorley came to visit. And so she went with me to Target to buy me toothpaste, which is something that I needed that I just didn't have the spare cash for at the moment. And she came back from Target and she hands me this white bottle of stupid ass, all natural mint, like whatever toothpaste. And I was like, you couldn't just get me like regular toothpaste? And she was like, 9 out of 10 dentists suggest this one. And I was like, I think this is just the one you use. You might as well have gotten me Tom's.
I was going to say, was it Tom's? Tom's is, I bought it once and never again. Worst toothpaste I've ever
had. We used to have it at Trader Joe's and everyone would make fun of it. It wasn't Tom's. It was another brand very similar to it. And like, it was the exact thing where I was like, I don't want to appear ungrateful, but I'd rather you just have not gotten me anything.
Tom's does seem like, have you ever watched the, oh God, I can't remember what it is. As John C. Reilly, I think it was called the something like that. It's a Western film with John C. Reilly. And part of his character development is he tries, in the Old West, I guess, like, tries toothpaste for the first time. Hmm. Using Tom's, that's how I felt like it must have been the same mixture. He was confusedly like, I rub this on my teeth? It's so nasty tasting.
It just doesn't feel like it works. Like, I think it's, I've mentioned this before, but honestly, it's something I don't feel the need to hold back on. Guys who say that they can use all natural deodorant and smell good. No, you don't. It doesn't work. You smell bad. You're a bad smelling person. and you're not using the proper things to not smell bad.
I think this is sometimes when I tell a story and you're like, I don't know that type of person, but I guess we hang out in different groups. I think this is one of those times where I'm like, you know, I can imagine how annoying that'd be. Don't know anybody who brags about using all natural deodorant.
From Trader Joe's to Ecology Bros, we got plenty of peeps I've known that have done that.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Other times, well, like I said, the whole thing that got me excited about this theme is I could tell a story about Dorley making our mom cry, but it's actually not that interesting of a story. It's more of just an inner familial thing.
Well, what else? Looking at gift horse in the mouth.
Although Dorley did also famously was righteous in her dislike of a lot of gifts growing up, because our neighbor, I think, like, always got me, like, pretty good stuff that I always really liked, and she was a lot more well off than we were, so she could get us good gifts. For Dorley, she just really refused to accept Dorley's didn't like girly not things girliness. Nature. Yeah, and so she would just force that on Dorley with her gifts, and like my mom had trouble like trying to hone in Dorley being like, I don't want this. This is stupid. But I think she was righteous in for most of those, for pretty much all of those, I guess, probably.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, can you not sell like Barbies or something? Or yeah, I guess that would be.
Well, we
rude
weren't
to
flipping
sell.
It.
I don't know.
I mean, I remember one time it was a Victoria's Secret jacket that was pink, and it was before Dorley entered her pink era. And so
that is a disgusting gift to get a child.
I think she was like in high school. But yeah, I remember going to the mall, going back to Victoria's Secret with the gift receipt, exchanging it. And in front of Dorley, my mom and the cashier were both like, she doesn't like this jacket. It's fabulous. And I was like, no, this jacket sucks. Dude, this is a stupid jacket. Dorley's right.
Because in my mind, when I hear Victoria's Secret pink jacket, I'm thinking, what's that material? Like, not jumpsuit material, but like
spandex?
Almost fuzzy. Like, I'm thinking
velour? Velvet?
Velour? Is that, yeah.
No, it was like,
was
a,
it like
coat.
A velour?
It was like a winter coat with like fur on it, which I already don't like fur, but yeah, it was like a big, like, kind of like a puffy jacket.
Okay.
I remember correctly.
Imagining like an athletic jacket, I guess, a little bit.
No, almost. It was like a winter jacket. I'm sure it was probably expensive. I didn't like it. And Dorley certainly at that time didn't
What'd
like it.
What'd she end up getting from Victoria's Secret?
Dildos? I don't know.
I don't think they sold dildos there.
I don't know. I've only been funny. There like three times.
Do you remember when they sold sweatpants with the word juicy on the ass?
Yeah.
That
was do I remember? How do I forget?
What an awesome dread. That honestly feels like something that should be from the 2020s. That feels like real, like, you know how like culture's gotten so crazy that everybody is like, everything is as maximalist as it can be. That feels as maximalist as it can be. How is that a like 2008 thing instead of a 2024 thing?
I don't know. We had no shame. You know, one of my only stories about Victoria's Secret and like the four times that I've been there is one time I went there with an ex to help them pick out lingerie. And I think like everyone in that store was like, gay best friend? Or like, what are we doing here? Who is that person? Because they're definitely not together. Okay, any other gifts that you... What have I gotten? What have I received? This one is kind of like an office thing. So it's like family drama. There's not a lot of it. Or if it is something like that, like Dorley's story that I make fun of a lot. But because I was in IB in high school, which was a program of like 10 people who all did the same classes together, we did do Secret Santa 1 year. And in addition to what he put on his list, I thought it'd also be funny to get him like these little like sexy Santa shorts from Walmart, just like kind of like short shorts that have like a Santa theme to them. And I think he was uncomfortable with them, but the next year in our senior year, when we did Secret Santa again, he got me and he made sure to return the shorts to me, which I thought was the most petty, disgusting thing a person could do. I was legitimately mad at him for doing that. And I was like, throw them away, but don't give them back
funny.
To me.
No. He got your ass. He got your ass.
I was like, no, that's so ungrateful.
Nah, he got your ass.
Nah. I did keep
You're him. Still pissed that he got your ass.
He did not get my ass.
Hmm.
That was also the year where we were supposed to put
look at you
emotional. We were supposed to put 10 things down that we could possibly want, but all I wanted that year was a pair of headphones. So I put love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in a pair of headphones. And since he was a very religious person, he also got me Skittles because he got me the fruits of the spirit, which I thought was cute. Aww. But then also the shorts, which I was like, hey, come on, buddy.
Did you get headphones at all? Or
yeah, he got them for me.
Okay. Sounds like this guy is delightful and you don't have a sense
you,
of humor.
You know Robert. You know he's not. You're just trying to paint him to the audience. Who is this? Robert.
Oh, never mind. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. This wasn't... Yeah, this was high school. You knew these people. Okay. All right. Anything else that you want to talk about?
I don't... This can get taken out in the edit. I'm not sure how interesting it is. But there was a... My mom used to do scratchies for Christmas in our stockings. And there was one year where I got
home lottery?
Early. Yeah.
She bought the lottery for underage kids?
No, we were all overage at this point. This was
adulthood. Gotcha, okay.
I was home for Christmas early, and my mom was going to pick them up for me and my siblings, and I was with her in the car. And I was like, Mom, my sister and brother are both married, and their spouses get the scratchies too, so that doubles their chances for that household to win. So I should get twice as many as they do individually. And my mom agreed with the logic.
Mm-hmm. Flawless.
Got me twice as many scratchies. And then the day of Christmas, it really upset my brother. He thought it was completely unfair. And it actually started like a little bit of family drama where he was like, I don't know. I can't even remember what it was. But it became this like thing about like, I don't know, about unfairness or how disrespectful it was to him. I can't remember the exact like contours of the argument, but... He was not happy with
it. Did you explain your argument? The logic?
I know. I thought my logic was impeccable.
That's funny.
But he did not see it that way. You know, worst comes to worst, it's not like either of us won money. Maybe if I won the lottery, he could just be upset. I don't know. It was a very weird sort of thing.
I don't know. Speaking of siblings and stuff like that, that's so funny, is like, the big twist that happened in Argentina is I found out when checking in for my flight back the day before that I had a checked bag for free. So literally the entire time I was in Argentina, I was like, my bag's already full. If anything, I can get one thing for myself. And then otherwise, while I'm here, I can pay for experiences. Literally can't buy anything physical that I need to take back with me. And that was my mindset the entire time. And so at one point, Dorley, I don't think this was the situation. I think she was doing ice skating indoor with my dad. And so she needed pants to wear. But I don't think that was what it was. For some reason, my dad bought pants for Dorley at some point during the trip. And he mentioned to me that they were $100. And so he was like, if you see anything that you want, like at the store or the next store or wherever, I'll buy it for you. And I was like, I literally don't have room for any of it. But I did start bringing that up a whole bunch of times. I started doing the Job thing where I was like, oh, so we'll get Dorley $1 million pants, but I don't get anything or whatever. And Dorley took it so seriously. She was like, your flight cost more. I don't know what you understand about what you don't understand about this or whatever. And I was like, I don't know why you're taking this so seriously. But Dorley got so defensive about like, you're being a brat right now, complaining about my pants.
Well, Dorley is very American, so she cares about materialist things like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is true. She was just eating chicken nuggies and wearing her Levi's.
Oh. All right, cool. You want to get into columns?
I am bringing in something from Karen Feeding. This is from Michelle Herman's iteration of Karen Feeding. But this is from Slate, and this is from Halloween 2021, but we're going to go down to the third article. So here we go about looking a gift horse in the mouth. Dear Karen Feeding, is my sister trying to mess with me through my daughter's birthday gift? My sister, quote-unquote Ashley, and I have never been close. Growing up, our parents always pitted us against each other because, so they have claimed, they thought this dynamic of competition would help us become successful. It did not work, and our relationship has always been strained. The last straw was when my father left more money to me than to Ashley in his will. The last straw was my father left more money to me. Wait, that seems like a good thing. This seemed to really bother her. And
to
we
Ashley.
Haven't ta-
it was the last straw.
Yeah, okay. This seemed to really bother her, and we haven't talked much since he passed. Last weekend, my daughter, who is trans, turned 7. My sister knows that, quote-unquote, Isabella is a trans girl, but for her birthday, she sent a plush dinosaur. It seems to me that giving Isabella a birthday gift that isn't girly was a passive-aggressive way of getting at me, so I asked Ashley about it. She claimed that she doesn't see dinosaurs as particularly gendered, and that she herself, parentheses, supposedly liked dinosaurs as a kid. I don't buy it. Dinosaurs are known to be a boyish interest. For what it's worth, Isabella seemed happy enough about the gift and thanked Ashley over the phone, but I can't tell if she was just being polite to her aunt. Am I overthinking this, or am I right to be suspicious? From Dino Dig.
Okay, starting from least impactful and important part of this to most important points to make about this column. Can we start with my thing about white people having siblings that they're just like neighbors with? Mm-hmm. She claims to have like dinosaurs as a child, but I'm not buying it. What do you mean? You knew your sister.
Did they or did they not? Yeah.
What is this? I'm not buying it shit.
Unless they're super older than her, but yeah. It seems like they're close in age. That's part of how you pit them against each other.
Yeah. Just remember.
Do you guys not talk at the water cooler?
Didn't pass each other in the hallways, share some memories every once in a while.
Yeah. I like how they can really clearly trace it to their parents, though.
Ashley doesn't like you very much.
They were literally made to be enemies.
I don't know if I buy this. I really hate this question asker so much.
Yeah, it is true.
Should we get to the heart of the most ridiculous thing she said?
Mm-hmm.
The dinosaur toy was not girly enough.
Mm-hmm.
This person is woke enough to not believe yeah. that. To yeah, be yeah, totally yeah. accepting That's of their part. Trans child.
Yeah.
But they also believe the gender binary is so strict that dinosaurs are somehow fall on one end of the binary and mm-hmm. must be respected as only existing there.
Yeah.
You know, some dinosaurs had pussies. I don't want to have to be the one to say it. I think we're all thinking it. I don't know why dinosaurs are boys to this person. You know when you see a rat and you're like, that's a dude rat?
That's a dude rat. That's a dude
Shout thing. Out Hannibal Burris. What is it? All rats are dudes?
All rats are dudes. Let's see a pregnant rat. But then again, it could be one of those dude rats doing the pregnant rat trick on you.
Yeah, I don't think dinosaurs are like that. I think dinosaurs can be chicks. It's cool. It's fine. Dinosaurs.
I think this child in a decade or so is probably going to be writing a post about being raised by a narcissist.
Yeah, for sure. I sort of get dinosaurs being gendered, like, in the slightest way, but I feel like it's 2024. They're not gendered anymore. Girls can like dinosaurs.
Yeah. No, I don't think that idea is totally wrongheaded. I think the idea that this is a slight against you... it's very well written in the sense of like a sitcom where someone takes something the wrong way, but the moral of the episode is that that person is taking things incorrectly as aggressive from other people. Like, that's what it feels like. This is like a really good example of them just being like, I just thought it was a cute dinosaur that your kid would like.
And they told her that, and she's refusing to buy it. She's like, no. The only way you could get a dinosaur toy for a trans child is for nefarious, secret, pissing-me-off purposes.
I can tell by your body posture that you're lying.
Also, can we talk about the fact that her dad left her more money, and she didn't go, wow, our dad's a dick, I'll give you an equal amount. I shouldn't take more money than you. Mm-hmm. That's our dad mm-hmm. clearly trying to, like, somehow... exert power.
Divide us from the grave.
Hurt you through the grave. Like, the fact that she's like, a little weird, he gave me more money. Totally normal and cool thing for somebody to do.
What kind of succession-ass family is this where you're getting money from your parents after they die? I'm getting dead.
That's true, too. That's true, too. Have I told you this? Both my, talking about giving gifts, both my niece and nephew that are old enough to get gendered gifts, both of them are hilariously... stereotypical in their gender presentation. It's literally like the boy likes trucks and big machines and the girl likes like Minnie Mouse and pink things. Although to be fair, the boy does like pink too. That is his favorite color. So they both like pink things. So I get them both.
I think I tried to jokingly call you out once for getting your niece too gendered of a gift because you got her like a grocery simulation or like a egg thing. What was it? Like egg cart? I don't know.
Oh yeah. I got her a carton of eggs.
Yeah. And I was like really pushing those gendered stereotypes, Paul, but...
No, she legitimately... It's so funny. The boy is like chaotic and he likes trucks and making a mess. And the girl's like likes being polite and playing with baby dolls. I mean, I'm sure some of it has been pushed on them by their parents, but I don't know.
Or just society.
Society. Both of them like dinosaurs, though. Weirdly dinosaurs enough, they do both really like their dinosaur toys, so...
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. They're cool.
You can be trans, but You have to, once you've decided to be trans, you have to be the girliest girl that there ever possibly has been. And you better not be a goddamn tomboy, because that would be so confusing for me.
Were you really into dinosaurs as a kid?
No.
For as much as I was a biology kid, I never got into dinosaurs. To me, it was borderline sci-fi.
Yeah, they feel like dragons.
Yeah, it felt like liking dragons. Like, to me, it was like, I like things I can see and things that, like, I can actually, like, go out and look at.
Which I think is fair enough, because I think, right, the dinosaurs
this was way before I realized that they're supposed to have feathers and shit or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, they got them wrong anyway, so it's like they were kind of sci-fi.
Well, that, and then, like, have you ever read those stories about, like, archaeologists just or paleontologists literally putting the bones together wrong and being like, yeah, these two dinosaurs are actually just were put together for 50 years and we thought it was just this weird thing?
It's also when you look at, like, right, when people point out, like, what a wide time span there was. And what's available in the archaeological record, most dinosaurs we don't know about. Like, just like factually, like, right, it has to be like pretty perfect conditions for things to fossilize and certain climates are now, you know, under those various things. So just like, I don't know. We know about very specific dinosaurs that happen to be perfectly susceptible to being fossilized.
Yeah, it just never appealed to me that much. Like, I actually still don't even know what the order of, like, Cretaceous, Jurassic, whatever eras were. Like, that was never in my field study. You know what always blows my mind?
When I see a giant sloth, what the fuck's up with those things?
Ooh, those were cool. That was the reason avocados existed.
I never had a dinosaur phase, but I did get why they were cool, and I think it's the idea of, like, any animal that big, when, you know, something like that large, at least on land, doesn't exist anymore, just kind of blows your mind.
Yeah.
But it's like, I wish there was an animal that big currently.
I wish there were big animals now, yeah.
I know, right? What, we top off at elephants now? That's bullshit. I think we could go 3-4 times as big as elephants, at least.
Ooh, that's scary.
It'd be a more interesting world.
Oh, you know what? That's true. It'd be a more interesting world. Yeah, anything else about this this question or anything, though?
What was the... She was asking for advice. Am I overthinking this or am I right to be suspicious? You are wrong to be suspicious. You are overthinking this.
Is there any way that she just also didn't do a good job? Also,
return the extra money your dad gave you to your sister. What a bullshit thing to keep that extra money.
Maybe she just didn't explain well enough how vindictive Ashley is.
Yeah, she really came off... It's so weird to write into somebody and make yourself come off as such a villain in comparison to your sister.
I like how part of it is also, like, also my child's probably lying, too. They seemed okay with it.
Also,
I think if you wanted to make the point that she thinks she's making, there are better gifts to get. So here's the answer from Karen Feeding. Let me get this straight. You are a sufficiently forward-thinking person to fully support your trans child's identity. Yay for you. Which we actually technically didn't get in the question. We didn't say whether or not she feels good about it. But also, so backwards thinking that you have the genuinely wacky idea that dinosaurs are for boys, I will confess that it's hard to concentrate on the meat of your question. Does my sister hate me? Is she expressing this hate by meanness towards my child? When my brain is spinning ceaselessly around the central mystery of your letter. But I'll try. I don't know if your sister hates you, though your father leaving the two of you unequal amounts of money was a seriously cruel parting gesture. Unless there are extenuating circumstances you haven't mentioned here, like Ashley is well off financially and you were desperately strapped. If addressing your years-long conflict slash competition with your sister was really important to you, and your financial situations are comparable, you would have taken matters into your own hands and made the bequest equitable after the fact, so that your parents' misguided, mean, bizarre child-rearing tactic didn't end up getting the last word. So I would say that the troubles between you two can't be laid entirely at Ashley's feet. As to whether her, parentheses, possible, antipathy toward you found its expression in the gift of a stuffed dino, which is in no way I can imagine, no matter how much I stretch my imagination, a toy that only a boy could love, the only possible answer is, what on God's green earth are you talking about? From Michelle.
Any comments on that answer?
It wasn't very helpful. Maybe it's what she needed. Some tough love. That is a funny thing. What did she supposed to do? it let's assume that her suspicion is 100% correct. What do you do?
Buy pink spray paint, and every gift that your sister gives your daughter from then on, just give it once over with that spray paint before you hand it to your daughter.
Well, according to Paul, this is a really cool guy thing to do. Maybe you should just return the dinosaur to her during her next birthday.
I heard you liked dinosaurs when you were a kid. Wouldn't know, but word around the block.
All right, you ready for your article?
Adrian, you know I hate doing two Slate articles in the same episode, but this one was a little too perfect for looking a gift horse in the mouth. This one's, Dear Prudy.
I mean, this one's got a paywall?
Oh, I can send you the link I'm using.
Hold on, I can just send it over to the one that I use. You just didn't tell me.
This is about looking your own gift horse in the mouth. Dear Prudence, my 10-year-old daughter is a horse girl. She's outgrown her first pony.
Fate worse than death.
So we just bought her a new horse. This horse was priced right. He's perfect age, size, and temperament. And he's trained in what she wants to do. We seriously could not have found a better horse. Except for one thing. He's an almost entirely white pinto. And his registered name is White Flight.
Ooh.
I don't want to know what the breeder was thinking. My daughter thinks it's beautiful. But I would be embarrassed to have my child showing on a horse with this name, and I want to officially change it, or at least call him by another name. I've explained the meaning of White Flight to her, but she still thinks it's a perfect name for a white show-jumping horse, and says she wants to use it to mean something good, instead of something bad. How can I convince her to rename her new baby? Would it be too mean to say either the name is changed or the horse is sold and she can't have another one?
Damn.
We've all been here, Adrian.
This really reminds me, I think there's probably a couple stories I can glean or gather or muster from this premise. One is when I was listening to the podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish, they were doing a fact about how there are like a number of descendants or relatives or other people with the last name Hitler in like some Midwest town in America. And so they had like an Adolf Street, or I think it was a Hitler Street is the last name. They had a Hitler Street. And like when they were trying to get them to change the last name or the name on the sign of the street or whatever, the quote from the guy was like, "We're not going to let one person sully the good name of Hitler." And I like that this is this kid's reaction is like, we can make it mean a good thing. We can reclaim it. The other thing I was thinking about was anytime you get a pet that comes with a name, which I think the most recent one I can think of is Pierce and Nicole doing what I think are corny names for their cats because one of them came with the name. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They gave them Marvel names, right? It was like Thor and Iron Man.
Thor and Storm. Which is why I call them Stormzy and Thorsby now, as I changed their names to be cooler.
You should have gone Stormzy and another UK rapper.
Yeah, I wanted to keep at least the roots, though. Who's the one who is getting like a little like semi-backlash right now because they just released artwork for their new album or single called Gas Me Up, and it's people in a gas chamber? I think that's Skepta. It was Skepta, I think, yeah. What the fuck have you lot done? Any other ideas, Paul? Off rip?
I mean, like I said, it's just like we've all been here. We've all bought our daughter a horse and later found out it had an offensive name, and our daughter refused to change it. And of course, our 10-year-old daughter controls us, so...
Mm-hmm.
What is this last sentence? Would it be too mean to say either the name is changed or the horse is sold and she can't have another one? No, it wouldn't. She's your daughter. You have control over her life. You bought her a horse. Mm. Why does she even know the horse's name originally? How is she a part of this conversation?
How did you get... Well, maybe she brought her along to try and pick out the horse. And they're like, what's this horse's name? And they're like, oh boy.
Also, you have way bigger problems on your plate. Your 10-year-old daughter is a horse girl. And you're presumably very rich, so she's going to be a wealthy horse girl. That's like going to lead to a life where she lives alone in a mansion being insane. Like, that's not a good combo to have a lot of money and be a horse girl.
There are so many prevalent problematic things where it's like, you know, Tracy Morgan saying, like, if my kid was gay, I'd beat him or whatever. And, like, for me, my one fear, if I were to ever be a parent, which hopefully I won't be, is my kid becoming a horse person. That's my one fear, where it's like, that's the one identity I can't handle.
And we had weird It's rude to say we had weird horse girls, but we had the horse girl archetype, but they at least lived on farms. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they were going to grow up to interact with normal people, and like, they either lived on a farm or they had neighbors, or, you know, their horse interests were more connected to like a communal thing, not just they were using their money to bring horses over to their house.
There was that one girl who was a year older than us, that our one of my friends who was a year older than us had a crush on, and we were all in theater together. And one of the things that happened, because she lived on a horse farm where they like sold, like they flipped horses. They didn't like just like their horses and hang out with them. They like flipped them and raised them. Is she told us about how the owner of Maurice's Piggy Park, who was like a known racist, was like part of the actual like KKK in South Carolina that still existed, and she sold them the white horse that they used for one of their parades or whatever. And I was like, this is some deep lore. Like, I don't know how I would feel about this, but this is an interesting thing to know about what your family does.
You mentioned flipping horses. I don't know why he had to include these buying a used Honda Civic details about the horse. Mm-hmm. The horse is priced right. He's the perfect size, age, and temperament. He's trained in what she can do. We seriously could not have found a better horse.
I mean, it's the parallel of being like, my boyfriend's perfect in every single way except for... His name is Whitey. This seems more like a care and feeding question than a prudence question. I'm surprised this went to Dear Prudy.
That's true. Well, Prudy is the general, so anything that goes to care and feeding or their money one or whatever, I guess could go to Prudy.
So this is me being ignorant, and I'm sure that's going to play a big role in this. Are horses not like dogs, where like the best thing you can do is get it as a baby? Where you can call it what you want and raise it to do what you want?
Presumably,
and raise it to like you.
He says he's trained in what she wants to do, and then he mentions competitions. So I assume show jumping, you want a horse that's already been trained. It might be dangerous to put your 10-year-old and be like, yeah, just lasso this wild horse and figure it out. Mm. Get it working right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's trained to jump. That must take a lot of work.
I think it actually does. Yeah,
yeah, that sounds hard.
Yeah, it really does sound hard.
What else does it do? Is it roll over? Oh, I forgot that she's already gotten a pony. I wonder what her pony's name was.
Adrian, we can't say that on the podcast.
Ooh, that's true. She's outgrown her first pony.
What other names could it have that are more in line? Would a horse name gentrification? Would you have to change that horse's name?
Ooh. Yeah, you'd probably have to.
A horse named Redlining. Ooh, that might actually be a horse's name. That I could 100% see a horse called Redlining at a
horse
race.
Maybe Redline. Someone who's really into anime watched that movie and was like, I want to name my horse Redline.
Well, something offensive against your people. Build the wall.
Yeah. Beautiful name. Oh, it's a beautiful name.
Talking about offensive pet names, I did have a set of friends here in Charlotte who they bought a kitten, named it Bean. Mm. Or it was named Bean when they got it, and they thought it was cute to call it the slur for your people.
Mm-hmm.
Until they said it around my other friend Shane, and he had to explain to them that was a slur.
Come on, that's good white praxis. That's good white on white explanations of something before it goes to other people.
Actually, the person saying it, not white, Turkish.
Oh, okay, all right.
But yeah,
all right, Islam. So.
It wasn't Islam Peksanar, no. Good guess. That is a Turkish person.
Mm-hmm. Wait, why did they have to take the whole horse back? Why can't they change the name? You're right. This is a 10-year-old. What are they going to do? Take him to court? Or I guess the big thing would be her continuing to call it that, in which case I think it's just social feedback that stops you from doing that at a certain point.
Well, I think it's also the competitions. You don't want to show up to competition. Like, who cares if she calls it that in her headcanon? We had a similar article about that with, like, a little girl had an offensive name for her, like, stuffed animal, and my advice was, who cares?
He was a sock monkey.
Yeah,
she called it like black monkey or something like that.
I think this is different because it could be like representing her publicly instead of just like something that will like be grown out of and never like heard by anybody else. This could actually escape. So yeah, you gotta change the name. Why are you listening? Why is your daughter what sort of like Nickelodeon Disney-ass world do you live in? What sort of, like, a Hannah Montana, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, where this child is outsmarting you, where they're like, well, actually, I'm going to turn it to a good thing, and you're like, that actually is a good point. No, it's not. She's 10. Why is she? Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, I don't know anything about horses, but I know there's a thing about getting a pet that already has a name. Is, do they, like, learn their names? Is that, like, a really important thing, like, a critical period thing? Or is that, like, it doesn't matter, you can change their name whenever, and it doesn't really matter? I feel like horses listen to whistles more than they do to names.
Yeah. I thought it would be like dogs, where they also, if it wasn't whistles, it would be like certain words that's universal, like mush or...
Mm-hmm.
There'd be like universal words, not like... why would you ever have to say a horse's name while you were riding it? They know you're talking about them, you're on their back. Who else are you talking about?
You ever think there's a time where you're like trying to get your horse to do something and they're ignoring you and you're like, I forgot to say your name first. I could be talking to anybody right now. I know that was a thing for when I got my Moluccan cockatoo, is it wasn't about which names they respond to, but if you want them to be able to say their names, there are certain consonant noises you couldn't use, since they're birds that can talk.
And now that you're on Grindr, they've gotten a cockatoo in a different way. You know
what I'm saying? Hey, come on now, brother. Yeah, I don't know. Horse by any other name, just as sweet.
All right, do you want to hear the answer on this one?
No, really quick. Should we do a quick brainstorm of better horse names?
Yeah, pre-glue.
Now that's dark. And also assumes what that horse is going to do later on in life.
Vanilla Thunder.
Pre-horse in a messed up sex show in Tijuana.
There's some horse in this house.
Ooh. Horse of habit. Horse mythology. I don't know. I think we learned from our battle rapper or racehorse segment that there's plenty of names you could use. Some of them do refer to the color of the horse, and those get kind of weird, and I think that's maybe the best advice you can get is stay away from trying to reference the fact that it's white.
Sounds about white. Flip it on its head, make it woke.
All right.
What are some other woke names for a white horse? White privilege. Rename it white privilege. Or just rename it privilege and let everybody else make that connection. That's funnier, actually. Yeah, rename it privilege.
That's cool. Privilege.
You want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Answer. As I said, when I begged readers to help with this question on Twitter, I laughed a little when I read your letter because it still seemed so absurd and was, as Stacy NYDC put it, the funniest 1% problem in forever. But then I was like, honestly, I don't know. That's because while the name didn't sit right with me, and while I'm pretty sure most people are aware that white flight describes white people fleeing urban areas as people of color move in, which is absolutely rooted in racism, the phrase itself is not racist. It's not a bad word. It's something most non-racist people say to describe the things racist people do. The horse is not named Move to the Suburbs to Escape the Scary Blacks, so the responses that said make her change it because it's racist didn't feel convincing to me. I also wanted a response that felt more satisfying than you're the parent, you decide. After all, if you agreed with that approach, you wouldn't have a dilemma here. But I was unsure how to justify my thinking. So I thought the best responses from readers were the ones that got at the real issue here. You have to consider how people, especially non-white people, will feel when they hear the horse's name.
Yeah, I got a secret for you. Most non-white people aren't going to hear this horse's name. can we do a quick halftime break and get your feelings on this technicality of, like, technically white flight isn't racist. It's
stupid to me. I mean, that's what I was saying. Yeah. So they get to decide what they consider racist for them. There's more reasons to change this name than it's racist, just because, like, also, like, if it was called fart, that wouldn't be racist or bad or, you know.
But that's the issue.
There's a thing at a certain point where you don't want a crude name for an animal. It's a living being. Like, doesn't necessarily have to be racist to just be an odd name to give an animal.
I think so. I think for me, there's a difference between, it's not a racist term in and of itself to naming your animal that is a weird thing to do.
Also, it describes a racist thing. I don't know. Like,
so, like, lynching is like, well, lynching describes the act of, like, an extrajudicial murder.
Irrespective of color. It's like, I see what you're saying. It definitely, I don't know. There's just something about it that feels random in its assertion. not like rooted to anything.
It has this tinge. It has this tinge of like white people are being overly sensitive to things black people don't care about, and it's like, I don't think that's true. I think most people would be like, nah, that's not a cool name.
Okay, some of the tweets that she liked. This one's by Sarah Lang. I think this is a perfect instance to explain impact over intent. The intent in her head, using this in a good way versus bad, is outweighed by the impact it might have on her community. And so you need to work with her to recognize the impact plus move towards change. I think it's fine to acknowledge that it's not racist and make her change the name because a horse is not calling attention to white flight. It's fine to say, I bought you a horse, which is an extremely privileged thing. White flight is a problematic issue. Choose a new name. That one was by at Leora Falk. And from at Aaron Ford 13. So I actually think that 10 is old enough to start explaining how racist language works. You're already halfway there since she has learned what white flight is. Now explain that people will hear and see the name out of context and she won't be able to explain her positive intention. We don't get to decide how the words we use are heard. This is a super important lesson for a white girl to learn. I do think you should be firm on changing it, but not because you're the parent or because it's racist. Instead, your reasoning... Okay, this is me interrupting, but it's like, you can add all these extra words about explain it to her in however many ways you want to, but you're ultimately, it does come down to you are going to make the final decision. You better not let your fucking daughter call her rich-ass horse white privilege.
Wait, this is back to the flight. Actual answer, right?
Yeah, let me jump back to the answer again. I do think you should be firm on changing it, but not because you're the parent or because it's racist. Instead, your reasoning used to be that forcing people to think about something harmful and deeply connected to racism, or worse, giving the impression that your family is making light of something harmful and deeply connected to racism when they're just trying to enjoy a little equestrian activity, is not something that you're going to condone. Readers had great ideas for some alternatives. Bright flight. Or Sprite Flight, or Snow Jump, or Bianca. Those were all recommended by at Megan. At Brunhaha recommended a white horse that flies. That's a Pegasus. At Ooh. F. John the Force, F. John IV, recommended, why not Big White Flyer or Smooth White Flyer? Those are horrible names for horses. Please, I'm more offended by those. Do not let your daughter, do not call your daughter's horse Big White Flyer.
Mm.
And White Fly, another person, The Face Smith, recommended White Flyer. What? I don't know.
Oh, nice. Paul, you called it.
And I can't help but share these less serious answers, too. Joy Elaine responded, please rename the horse. Sounds about white. I'll attend that horse show. I will invest in that horse show.
I will invest in a horse show hat.
I don't know what that is, so I decided to just edit it. At Melinda
what do you Freeverts. Mean? What do you think people wear to the Kentucky Derby?
At Melinda Freevert said, I have no helpful advice here other than to rename the horse Legacy Admissions.
That's not serious. That's a dope name. That's such a cool name. That's a cool name for a battle rapper or a horse. That's dope. Okay, also the next one's really good too. These are good names. Like, I don't like how the advice columnist is saying these are like less serious.
At Batman said, rename it White Horses Can't Jump. And then the advice columnist closed with, to be perfectly clear, do not change the horse's name to Legacy Admission.
That's terrible advice. That's the worst advice we've ever heard.
I know. Absolutely change your horse's name to Legacy Admission.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's hard.
I didn't agree with a lot of that answer, especially the beginning, like you said, where she was like, it's not technically racist for some weird reason that would make anything not racist as long as you didn't intend it to be. It's like, no, things exist.
As long as it's not a literal
intention slur,
yeah. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, do you want to go into our third segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Paul, what you got for us?
We haven't brought it in for a while, but early on in this podcast, we used to do topical tips when either me or you needed advice in our lives. And I have recently run into the same phenomena twice. And I don't know if this would bother everybody, but it deeply bothers me in a way that I can't stop thinking about it and how would be an acceptable way to respond. This is honestly, it's one of those things that could find itself being an Ask Reddit thread that really tears people asunder based on, like, are you a pet owner or somebody who wants those damn dogs to stop pooping on your lawn? But at my parents' house,
while I was staying with them for Christmas, their neighbor has a anti-dog sound device in their front lawn.
An ADSD.
If you've never run into these, they let out a high-pitched frequency, and the idea is that anybody walking their dog won't want to idle on that lawn and poop on it.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, go for it.
So I know this from the world of plant defenses, but is it constitutive or induced?
Say that one more, you know, with the less sciencey words for us normal folks.
These things are on all the time, or it turns on when it senses that a dog is on the lawn?
So I Googled this product to see what it was all about. First off, none of them sell them as anti-dog devices. They actually sell them as anti-animal.
As flower vases?
Like something to protect your yard from wild animals.
From vermin.
This couple definitely uses it as an anti-dog device because they also have a sign. It's a picture of a dog with like the slash sign, like no dogs on this lawn.
Ooh.
So I know that they have some sort of weird complex about feeling like aggrieved by pet owners.
Because they're the worst.
I know that they're not using it as like some sort of like, oh, I don't like squirrels getting at my petunias or whatever. It's going, you know. And I don't know if I mentioned this yet. I can hear it. I think most people under 30 can hear it. I can hear it from really far away. It really bothers me. It's basically
so it's on
like
all
this
the time.
High-pitched screech that goes. It lasts for about 3 seconds, and it goes off every, like, 10 seconds. So it's like,
God. Oh, that's even worse. Pulse things are way worse than constant things because your brain doesn't eliminate pulse things. Yeah.
So it's just, like, this really, like, walking out of my parents' front door, as soon as I walk out, I just, like, I start hearing it, and it bothers me immensely.
Hmm.
And then when I was walking with Isabel.
So you started taking a shit on their lawn.
When I was walking with Isabel. Some people in Charlotte had one, and I even when I was Googling the products, like saw the exact one they have that's off Amazon. That's like a little solar powered one that looks like two. It's like sticking out of their lawn. It looks like two green binoculars. And yeah, this one in Charlotte bothered me just as much. It made it unpleasant to walk by this house on the sidewalk. And it's just like, I don't. I think what gets me about it is it's people who are definitely too old to hear it because you would never put that on your house if you could hear it. Just deciding that their antisocial dislike of like having any neighbors and being worried about a little bit of poop on their lawn gives them the right to make it unpleasant to be in that area for anybody under the age of 30. It feels so wrong to me. And this is why I'm coming to you, Adrian. Topical tip. Oof. My instinct is that I would... And I've mentioned this to people, and they're like, Paul, you're an insane person. You're going to get arrested for a crime. My instinct is I should be allowed to go in with a baseball bat and just destroy these motherfucking things. Cannot just annoy me that much around where I am. But I think other people disagree with me, and they say that that's not an all right thing to do. Also, the one here in Charlotte, who knows if they know that it's annoying that anybody else can hear it. The one in next to my parents' house does make it. I know my niece doesn't like it, according to my parents. She doesn't like playing in the front yard, and they think it's because of that.
Wow.
And they've mentioned that the other neighbors have also complained about it to this person, and they've actively refused to take it down or turn it off.
Damn. I have a lot of mixed feelings about this. I'm kind of inherently pro anybody anti-dog, so I kind of think they're kind of cool. I also think dog owners are terrible about picking up after their dogs. Most narcissistic, most unself-aware people in the world. I think my initial reaction to this, well, first of all, do you remember when we were in high school and that app came out that was like a mosquito noise that only young people could hear or whatever?
Yeah, that
it
really
reminds me of that. Yeah.
That went off in popularity. People,
I think there was
shit.
A thing in Britain where they were like actually trying to use those to like keep young ne'er-do-wells away from certain public areas.
I think that's
areas.
A thing in Japan. It's like anti-loiter sound devices for teens.
Which is dumb. There's definitely a frequency dogs can hear that most people can't hear that they could also use. That seems like an easy solution. But
maybe
I think
squirrels can't hear that, and these are mostly sold for other animals. But yeah,
maybe I think my other thing is like at that point you just don't want to live near people. Just like do what my parents
That's
did
my
and
thing.
Like live in the woods.
To be honest with you, maybe it's my problem with suburbs in general. It makes
no
sense.
You're too close,
to
anyways. I get
like, it. It makes no sense to both be like. I want to live next to people, but not, like, I don't know. It's, like, this weird in-between, like, I want to have my own land and property where I am like a little libertarian lord over that land. But also,
I have an HOA telling me what to do, and yeah, I'm willing to,
I better
yeah.
live in a place where there's also an HOA that has ultimate control over how I present that area.
It's one of those things that really pokes the hole in the anarchist we don't need police argument of like, the obvious argument that they would make is like, well, talk to your neighbors, get to know them, figure out what the issue is. And like, these people are insane. Like, the only thing you could really do is call the police and see if you could get like a noise ordinance. Like, you could use one of those things against them as like a, no, you're not allowed to pulse sound into your neighborhood every 10 seconds.
Yeah. And I wonder if it is technically over the decibel limit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is what one of the problems is that it's a purely annoying sound. Like, I don't know if it was like within regular sound like frequencies that a human could hear. Like, I think a dog barking would be less annoying because it's not a weird high-pitched thing that like burrows its way into your cranium so regularly.
I haven't experienced it, but yeah, it would be it's a high bar to jump over. The dog barking annoys me to no end.
This bothers me more for sure. There's something about it that I like. And maybe, once again, this probably is more a look into my psychology than anything else, but I feel myself just, like, tense up when I hear it. It's so annoying to me. And also the injustice of them being like, well, we can't hear it, so it's okay to annoy everybody else so that yeah. no dog will ever shit on our lawn. Like, something about that is just, like, it adds to it.
I mean,
it drives me insane.
I'll say it one more time that, like, it's a reaction to bad pet owners, and there is a systemic solution to that.
Topical tip, Adrian. What mm-hmm. do you think people are justified to do, especially if you've already talked to them and they refuse to remove the device?
Okay. I think you need to do two things. One, talk to Antifa. Get some people who are well-versed in dressing in all black, not showing their face, willing to do nighttime operations to get those things out of your neighborhood. But two, you need to start a neighborhood morning walk squadron of people who pick up poop off people's lawns for them for free as a community service to people, so that that then no longer becomes an issue that they're worried about.
So not follow the advice that I saw on Reddit when I Googled this and saw other people complaining about it, which is, if they're too old to hear it, you can go break it and they'll never realize because they don't know that it's going off or not.
Ooh, you don't think there's like a service plan? You don't think it's a thing that they pay for a monthly thing of and they have like a notification on their phone that they don't know how to access that says it's no longer
operational? No, I think these things are all solar powered and they just sit in your lawn. So if you just go at night, rip out the battery or the electronics, put it back in their lawn.
That's pretty smart.
It's pretty much impossible to tell.
That's not bad, actually. Get Antifa to do that. But then also do the, because if it stops working, they are going to know, right?
I mean, I don't think these things actually work, but I mean,
how much poop did you find on your neighbor's lawn?
Ooh, you're right. To be honest, it's a very pleasant neighborhood. It's not the type of neighborhood where I think anybody's ever let a dog. Like, it's a very, like, white picket fence. I don't think anybody's letting their dog.
That's another thing that I don't know anything about. Like, so, you know, I'm not going to have, I'm probably not going to live in a neighborhood. I'm probably going to live somewhere that lets you just do, like, a native plant garden. Is dog poop good for that? Or does it just, like, turn crumbly and dry and not add any, like, fertilization to the soil? Because if so, I can kind of see why it's
grass. I think people just find it nasty. I don't think it affects the quality of the plants.
All right. Yeah. No. Then, yeah, it does just seem like an inconvenience.
Also, these people, clearly, nobody's using the front lawn. It's not like they have kids who are running around that front lawn. Mm. Never seen anybody come in and out of that house. Never even seen a car in the front yard or anything.
Because it's littered with dog poop. It's disgusting.
Yeah. I think what I'm saying is I don't think these people ever step foot on their grass. I'm not 100% sure they would know if a dog pooped on it. I think they're the type of like suburban family that literally pulls their car into their garage, parks it there, and goes into the house.
You can still be an old person and just like looking at your front lawn and just get pleasure out of
it. You think that's it? They like to just look over their 50 square feet of property. Be like, I own land. Wait, is that dog poop? God damn it.
This beautiful grass. No, I get where you're coming from. I get that it's annoying. It does seem like a public disturbance. It feels like there should be some kind of reason to be able to get rid of these things. Yeah, like I said, I think your idea was smart, except that if it doesn't actually work, Well, I guess that's what you're doing. You're either proving that it works or it doesn't. If it doesn't work, everything ends up okay. Or if it, and if it does work, then, you know, maybe implement step two, which I had, which was create a community mutual aid based organization where people who walk in the morning also volunteer to pick up. Yeah, but
that's your solution to everything.
No, because I know from Amber Frost that mutual aid is not power.
What is that? Some sort of like Frozone style superhero from The Incredibles?
Amber Frost? Yeah.
Cool. Big facts, no cap, get out of here.
Yeah, was any of that advice useful to you?
No, I'm just going to destroy community them. Action useful for you? I'm sorry, I kind of knew about this before I came in.
That was part one.
That's what we should call this podcast. Paul knew the answer he wanted before he came in.
Okay, all right, big facts, no cap, let's get out of here.
Big fact. When it comes to gifting people lottery tickets, you gift them by amount of lottery tickets per household, not amount of lottery tickets per person. Because, you know, if a household wins, everybody in that household is splitting it. So it's kind of like doubling or tripling. You know, you're kind of multiplying the chances by the number of people in that household. It's not really fair when you think about it.
Yeah. Your one sibling who's in a polycule gets way better chances than you do.
Exactly. You got to buy every person in their 10-person polycule scratchies. They're definitely going to win way more money. It's not fair.
What's the most you've won from one of those holiday scratchies?
I don't know. Not that much. They're just kind of fun to do.
Okay, because like I think my my ex-girlfriend had a story about how her dad would buy scratchies for all of her siblings to do whenever they like stopped at a gas station. And one time one of the kids won like $5,000 and the dad was basically strong-arm into being like, okay, I'm going to buy you a PlayStation and I'm keeping the rest.
Wait, that's so fucked up. You definitely at least put it in a college fund for that kid.
These kids weren't going to college. Okay.
No cap. Those kids weren't going to college.
No. My no cap is if you ever go to Argentina, take a checked bag because you're going to want to buy stuff. It's very cheap. And then also, you're going to need that checked bag to bring about a liter of hot sauce because it needs something. Everything there needs something. All right.
All right, Hillary Clinton, keep that hot sauce on you. Bye now.
Come on now. Bye, bro.